and see them getting what they deserve. They make choices, and most of those choices have predictable results, much like your and my choices do. And it is a lot easier for us to see other people's predictable results than our own, typically. Now, while I strongly support helping people help themselves rather than just handing things out, James, in his letter, reminds us that we do not always see the whole picture, and we certainly don't get to make judgments about who is acceptable to God and who is not. I love how in chapter 2 of his book, he clearly lays out how right thinking and right doing are two sides of the same coin. The vision of Hands of Christ ministry is to meet tangible needs in our local community as a gateway to meaningful relationships that lead to discipleship. James chapter 2 doesn't tell us the whole story of how that looks in real life, but it is a tremendously powerful reminder for me of the crucial starting place that everyone involved in this ministry has to start from. I'll be reading the whole chapter of James 2 in the Message paraphrase without making any comments at the end, but I just want to thank you for being a living, breathing, supporting church, as together we are the Hands of Christ in Hutchinson. Listen to what James has to say about how we think and live. My dear friends, don't let public opinion influence how you live out our glorious Christ-originated faith. If a man enters your church wearing an expensive suit, and a street person wearing rags comes in right after him, and you say to the man in the suit, "Sit here, sir, this is the best seat in the house," and either ignore the street person or say, "Better sit here in the back row." Haven't you segregated God's children and proved that you are judges who cannot be trusted? Listen, dear friends, isn't it clear by now that God operates quite differently? He chose the world's down and outs as the kingdom's first citizens with full rights and privileges. This kingdom is promised to anyone who loves God, and here you are abusing those same citizens. Isn't it the high and mighty who exploit you, who use the courts to rob you blind? Aren't they the ones who scorn the new name, Christian, used in your baptisms? You do well when you complete the royal rule of the scriptures: love others as you love yourself. But if you play up to those so-called important people, you go against the rule and stand convicted by it. You can't pick and choose in these things, specializing in keeping one or two things in God's law and ignoring others. The same God who said, "Don't commit adultery," also said, "Don't murder." If you don't commit adultery, but go ahead and murder, do you think your non-adultery will cancel out your murder? No, you are a murderer, period. Talk and act like a person expecting to be judged by the rule that sets us free. For if you receive to act kindly, you can hardly expect to be treated kindly. Kind mercy wins over harsh judgment every time. Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come up to an old friend dressed in rags and half-starved and say, "Good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit," and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, "Sounds good. You take care of the faith department, I'll handle the works department." Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith, fit together, hand in glove. Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? Well, that's just great. Demons do that too, but what good does it do to them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse on your hands? Wasn't our ancestor Abraham made right with God by works when he placed his son Isaac on the sacrificial altar? Isn't it obvious that faith and works are yoked partners, that faith expresses itself in works, that the works are works of faith? The full meaning of believe in the scripture sentence, "Abraham believed God and was set right with God," includes his action. It's that mesh of believing and acting that got Abraham named God's best friend. Is it not evident that a person is made right with God not by barren faith, but by faith fruitful in works? The same with Rahab, the Jericho harlot. Wasn't her action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape that seamless unity of believing and doing what counted with God? The very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. Separate faith and works, and you get the same thing, a corpse.
Thanks, Shane, for sharing those devotions. On the board is Shane and Joe Yoder and I, and then we have Nathan as our treasurer, and of course Paul does all the hard work while we make the decisions. So, but we've asked Joe Yoder, which is our newest board member. He came. He was willing to serve on the Hands of Christ board starting January of this year. We've asked him to share a little bit about why he chose to serve with Hands of Christ, or how he views the ministry. So, Joe, go ahead.
Well, most of us, or some of us, agreed to make it pretty brief, and so I'm committed to that. I'm the sort of person who pretty easily makes friends with people of, a variety of lifestyles and behavior, and some quite different from what we're accustomed to. Where we live, and perhaps there are more of you that experience people coming to your place because they are looking for water or are hungry. I don't know. But being just a quarter mile from Highway 50, we get some of those. And over the years, I have made it my business to take advantage of those opportunities to give the best treatment possible to people who show up there on foot. And so it has that's been interesting at times. There was an underprivileged gentleman once who had an ordeal in Hutchinson. He would leave home because he was traumatized over holidays, and he ended up in Hutch, and then he ended up at our place, and he was from Oklahoma, and he was pretty helpless. So after work, I took him back to Oklahoma, and his mother was very, very glad to see him. Once I relied on Emilio to come and pick up a man who was pretty steeped in Indian religion, and as we spoke, and by the way, Twyla is very gracious in getting food together for people like that, and so I appreciate her eagerness to help. In those cases, I didn't feel like I had much to offer this gentleman. I didn't know his language, and but I thought of Emilio. So I struck a deal with Emilio that if he takes him out, I think he was wanting to go to Pratt. If he takes him to Pratt, I'll pay I'll pay some mileage, and then he can talk to him on the way. So Emilio showed up, and he took the gentleman to Pratt and had conversation on the way. And so, people like that raise my awareness of some of the needs out there. We go to a great deal of effort to send people a great distance, and we do have people just pretty much on our doorstep that need to be ministered to, if it's nothing but a glass of water or a little visit to show some friendship. I have I've had some board experience with a few organizations, and Hands of Christ is distinctly different in that, to my knowledge, up to now, Hands of Christ has not generated any income of its own. We Mennonites are good at becoming very involved in projects that help ourselves. I am not critical of the things we have going, like CAM, and you know, the other financial organizations we work with that help us to keep our money here. I'm not critical so long as we keep the proper view of that. But you know, Hands of Christ is kind of a perpetual, I guess you could look at it as a perpetual drain. There is always money going about one direction. And I think we're missing it if we are not willing to invest in something that only takes money. There is just nothing coming back. But you people have the sense to understand what is coming back. I mean, what that is actually generating. And so that's why. Well, I should go on to say, I suppose, that I'm probably no different than most of you in that the first response is reasons why I would not want to serve on a particular board or committee or something. But Hands of Christ was definitely the type of ministry that I have a heart for and believe in. And so that is why I agreed to serve and am very, very pleased with the kind of support I feel coming from you folks. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Well, the ministry keeps growing, and I don't know, needs keep arising. Paul's phone minutes don't go down. Many, they keep going up, which means that more people call than ever. So for like the last year, well, Kenneth Shank has been volunteering. When did he start volunteering? About October? Last fall. Kenneth volunteers. He's really flexible. I think he has a really good employer called Miller Seeds that lets him take some time off for Hands of Christ. But Kenneth volunteers for Hands of Christ probably about weekly. Is that fair to say? Yeah. Varies. Whenever we need him. Yeah, okay. Paul's going to explain a little bit. But whenever we need him. And then we have Clinton that just started volunteering this year. Clinton is giving one day a week when he volunteers, and we've asked him to share a little bit about volunteering for Hands of Christ. So come on.
Well, it's good to be here. And first of all, I'm really excited about the chance to get to work with the ministry that your church has started. I think it's a really unique ministry, one that isn't going just, you know, you can't just, well, our church doesn't have one like it, you know, to start. A lot of churches, you know, have some form of ministry, but I'm really excited about this one, wanting to help people in practical ways. And I was gone for about a year. In the year 2013, I was moved to Oregon. Then I went over to Asia for about 2 months at the beginning of this year. And I came back, and you know, just some observations about, you know, from my time over there. It was a really powerful year for me. A lot of things went wrong for me, and I had a lot of struggles and a lot of came back wanting to, you know, kind of re-examining what I want to do with my life and stuff like that. And one of the things I want to do is invest in people, because I see that people are really the only thing that's not going to burn up here shortly. So I want my life to be, you know, investing in that. And so another thing that that's one thing from my time out in Oregon. And another thing from my time in Asia is I loved Asia. I thought it was cool. I think I could live in China. You know, it could work. I can't, but I'm like, you know what? It's going to take so much learning of the language, learning of the culture, and all this stuff. And they're, you know, they're not obstacles. I think, you know, some of the stuff that's going on with some of you that are going out, I think of, like, you know, I don't know, Daryl. I don't know what all's public or how much people know, but, you know, visions of working in other countries, I think, is awesome. But I'm like, hey, you know what? I have a culture back home, and I know the language, and I, you know, don't complain. I'm not from the ghettos of Hutchinson, but I do know some of the culture, right? And so there's fewer obstacles in the way of communicating clearly and freely and building relationships with people right around me. It's just right there, boom. But I'm not doing anything about it. So that's one thing coming back from Asia. I'm like, you know what? Here it is. And here's the ministry, Hands of Christ, that facilitates and knows where a lot of those opportunities are that I can just plug in and just have a lot of good relationship. So I'm really excited about the chance, and thank you guys for allowing me to help with this. So yeah, I work with Kenneth sometimes and with Paul sometimes, and sometimes I just go out on my own. Some of the projects I've helped with have been practical things, and I know you guys have done a lot of projects, you know, like repairing, fixing shingles or repainting a house or I don't know what all stuff, but you guys know what that stuff is, and I've helped with a few of those projects. Now, my vision for what I want to contribute, the majority of my involvement with Hands of Christ, is for discipleship. Like, that's what, it's the relational part is what I want to do. And, yeah, it's just, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of lonely people, a lot of people that are struggling with things. And that's something from my past year out in service that I said was a difficult one for me. I had a lot of struggles. And I just, when people invested in me and when people took time for me and stuff, it meant a lot. And it just shows me how, you know what, there's an obese man sitting over in this house doing nothing. You know, what does life look like for him? Who are his friends? Does he have anyone who, you know, who cares about him at all? And, yeah, you know, just, so what if I was him? You know, just, yeah, I got somewhat of a vision for just being with people, just hanging out with people that don't have, you know, that don't have the best of what America can give them, or whatever you want to say. You don't have friends, you don't have good relationships with people. Anyway, so that's what I'm excited about doing, and yeah, I want people to get to know God. Like last year, talk about hard times, I felt like I had to relearn God. I'm still trying to figure out what it is to love God. I love him, I'm trying to figure out what it is to love him. And while I'm struggling through this stuff, I like to talk with other people about it. And if there are other people that are, you know, a step in front of me or they're a step behind me, wherever they're at, you know, I want to communicate with them about it and talk with them, and we can, like, learn about God together, learn what it means to love God, since that's the greatest commandment, is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So let's do that with some people. And so that's yeah, basically build relationships, get to know, walk with people, and getting to know Christ, and give people meaningful relationships. There is a certain guy that is kind of my, I suppose my main friend through Hands of Christ right now. His name is Gary. He's a long-haired old guy that Paul and Kenneth and I got to help move, like right after I started, helped him move from one housing place that he was at to another. And he thought that Paul was my dad and Kenneth was my brother, and like it was kind of hard to convince him of anything else. But eventually, you know, I think I had to tell him 3 or 4 times, and he's like, "Okay, yeah." Anyway, you guys. We just had an in with him. He's like, "You guys are my friends." He's like, "I know you guys are good kids. You know, you and your brother and your dad." And he's like, "Anytime you guys want to come over, you know, you can come into my house. You know, like, not just anyone. I'm not just friendly to anyone, but you guys have done something for me, and I know you guys are, I know you're legit." And so, you know, we have an in with him that is, it's great. So anyway, I've visited him some in the past. I tried to about every week or every other week. And I just go into his house, and he comes, I call him up, and he lets me in the apartment complex because there's some, like, security doors and stuff. And we go in there, I sit in his chair, and he pulls his clothes off the chair and moves them out of the way, and I sit down, and he's there laying on his bed with his, you know, his computer over on the one side and his TV on the other, and they're both going, and we just, you know, this is why I care about him. He's sitting there and he's online, and I didn't see who all's here tonight. I hope it's okay to just talk about what I observe there. Yeah, he's sitting there, he's online in his virtual world, and he's playing a game that is a virtual reality game, basically, to where he is living his life on the internet. And, you know, so what is he? He's an old man who's, I don't know, 60 years old with long gray hair, made a lot of bad choices in life, doesn't have good friends, you know, the friends he does have, whatever, they may be good ones, maybe not. But so what he does is, so isn't this so appealing? If you can, like, log into a game and pay $10 a month, and you can be on there, and you can be this 6-foot-tall, macho, good-looking, 25-year-old guy with black hair, and you go in there, and you socialize, and you're chatting with people all the time, and then you meet a girl, and you start a relationship, and this relationship goes, you know, days and weeks, and you actually get something going. And then, like, he's married online to some young gal from Canada. And she's a businesswoman who doesn't have time for, like, a real relationship, so this works for her, works for him. And so this is his life. This is what he lives for, is for his girl that's online. And they have this relationship. And so well, what problem do I have with that? I mean, that's great. You know, he's having a relationship, right? Well, it seems like there's something to be desired there. You know, what is it? So he doesn't really have real people to hang out with. And so that's one thing. I'm like, I want to come over and hang out. I want to be a friend to this guy. And then, so what do? We sit there and we talk and he chats and eventually, yeah, anyway. He's very friendly and we really have an in with him. We talk about theological things and he argues every side, you know, argues from a Mormon's perspective and a Christian's perspective and he believes in this and doesn't believe in this and then just switches it up on you. And so it's kind of hard to go anywhere. But I believe that the repetitious... But as I talk with him and as I, you know, care for him, then just saying the truth over and over, maybe it'll start to change his mind. I know that people tell me things, and I often don't agree with them right away, but over time, I think about them. And then eventually, it kind of changes my opinion about something. And so I think that's how, and I think the Holy Spirit works over time in people's hearts. And I don't know if this guy is ever going to become a Christian. Well, he says he is. He says he is. It seems like there's something lacking in his life. What is it? He's got all the right words. I don't know. Maybe he is a Christian. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. But I do know that I am. I believe that. And I've struggled with that a lot. But anyway, what I'm saying is I can't judge the man to know what he is. Because he can say everything right and agree with everything that we say. But I want to be his friend, and if God can use that to draw him closer to him and help him understand the truth and to start walking in truth, I guess that's the main thing I see is that his religion is not one of lordship, it's more one of convenience or, I don't know, it's not a surrendered life as such. But there are good things. He's quit a lot of stuff that he used to do that wasn't good, so anyway. That's just one instance. And, yeah, so I would encourage you guys, you know, there's lots of people. Paul knows lots of names. And if you want to start hanging out with someone once a week, you can do that, you know. There's lots of people all over Hutchinson. So, yeah. I would say it's definitely good work, and I'm really excited about what's going on here. Thank you.
Thank you, Clinton, for all your volunteering. We really appreciate that, and we appreciate Kenneth volunteering too. Next, we have Paul, and he's going to share about Hands of Christ and give an update and some vision.
Good evening. Thanks for coming out this evening. See, what does the president do once a year? What's that?
State of the Union.
So is this what this is? I don't. Not really. But what I do want to emphasize this evening is this is your work. It's not Paul Yoder's work. It's Center Amish Mennonite Church's work. And we're your servants, and I am in a real way. And so we know that Joe talked about the main drain. You know, it's money basically going one way, and I know where most of the money is going. And I am very much aware of that. And talking to you and answering to you just reinforces that. But I just want to say you're wonderful employers. And you're wonderful co-workers. And I love to work with you. And I'm just as excited about the work now as I was in the beginning. And I love to see what God is doing. And I know that sometimes we tend to get tired. I'm not saying I don't lose the vision sometimes. And sometimes not just ready to throw in the towel and get discouraged. I have those times when things get hard and monotonous, but most of the time I just rejoice in the Lord and rejoice that God has led us a church to this work. And you know, each one of us, we have so many things that we're involved with, and I just rejoice in how God is working in the Rise Church, in the prison ministry, in all the outreaches. And so this is another small spectrum that we are allowed to be a part of. And I like to talk about the volunteers a little bit. This has been such a gift. And so, first of all, Kenneth, he was an intern a year ago, January, and that worked out so well. And so, basically what he did last fall, he said he quit his job at Miller Seeds. And he said, I'm available. I'm available. But don't feel under pressure to keep me busy all the time. I want to have time for other things, for personal things and study and so forth. But anytime you need help, give me a call. And since last November or December, he has been available when I called him 90% of the time. Now, that's just been a tremendous blessing. So now, for a period of time, he's going back to Miller Seeds and helping out again. But even then, he will be somewhat available for urgent things, I think. And then Clinton comes along and says he'd like to give one day a week. And so we have the privilege of getting together every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. So if anyone wants to join us, you can. So we get together at 9 o'clock and we pray about the needs and we talk about the needs and what needs to be done. And out of these, how the Lord leads is so wonderful. So Kenneth says he'd rather emphasize the practical part. They're both practically gifted. But Kenneth, and Kenneth's also gifted to build relationships, but he wants to emphasize going out and doing small repair jobs. And my main concern there is that main concern has been that we don't take things away from you and give to him. But it has been really neat when, okay, here's an emergency. Here's something that needs to be taken care of, or here we're way behind. Let's get some of these things taken care of. And Kenneth is there to do it. And Clinton did too. So they worked together. They worked with some of you. And Clinton said, you know, I would like to spend time with people. And so God... And that's, you know, one of the goals. And I'll just read the mission statement. Hands of Christ Ministries serves the Hutchins community through practical acts of service. That's the practical stuff. Through friendship and through discipleship. That has to do with people. The ministry operates under the leadership of Center Amish Mennonite Church to provide its members opportunities to regularly serve the local community in the name of Christ. Now, so like Clinton said, the acts of service that we do, and we just see it over and over and over again, the acts of service that you do opens the door. You know, who's going to say you can't come when you've helped him repair a roof, or you've cleared, or you've cleaned their yard? And so Clinton has a special desire to pursue those relationships. So yesterday, Clinton and I went visiting people. And so that's going to be his special area of service. Doesn't mean he will never do anything else, that he won't do practical things, but that will be his emphasis. And with his gift of music and of playing a guitar, opens another door to people's hearts. So I don't know if we've talked about Michael and Nadine, and I think I'll just, you know, how did that start? I think, see, was it Heidi and Uni, right? So his wife, I'd like to just tell his story a little bit. And the it taught me a lot. I hope it taught me. Shane talked about middle class. We're all pretty good middle class people. Well, Michael's grandparents, he's Jewish. They came from Europe. I'm not sure where. I think they came from Germany. And they immigrated to New York City. And so his parents moved to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So he was at the bottom of the line in a factory. Well, you know, hard work. And he rose in the ranks, and he became a department head. Well, I had a lot of concerned Mennonites working under him. And so Michael grew up in a middle-class American home. So when he went to school, he experienced a lot of prejudice. He was Jewish. So he received the same kind of treatment that blacks did. He got fed up with middle-class America. He wanted to experience another kind of life. He rebelled against his parents. He had an uncle out in Los Angeles, California. So he went out there. And there he found, he told me just the other day, he told us, I think, he learned how to be a hippie. And he learned acceptance, toleration, in spite of lifestyle, in spite of color, in spite of gay lifestyle, drugs, the whole works, everything's good. Okay, he made wrong choices. But then I had to ask myself, is he the only one to blame for those choices? What about those good middle-class people back in Lancaster, Pennsylvania? Will they in the judgment seat and the judgment day of Christ, will they have to face some responsibility for their attitude that sent him out there and made him choose that? And it just, it talks to my heart, speaks to my heart. And I've, and as you interact with people like that, and now you, the wonderful thing about it is, we can more and more talk to him about the Lord Jesus. And as I wrote in the newsletter, he in the update, he said, you know, he's willing to look at the Old Testament scriptures that talk about him. He never has studied it. It just was not part of his religion. But the commitment he has to his wife is just astounding. So Heidi and Uni came into their apartment and did therapy with his wife, who has a terminal condition. And they did that for several months, and that's where we became acquainted, became friends. And his wife was transferred to the Hutchinson Care Center, and she's completely helpless. He goes every morning, early in the morning, he takes Arquette up to the Hutchinson Care Facility, There he is all day. Sits beside his wife, ministers to her all day. And then I take him up Sunday mornings usually. And sometimes, some of you have done that. Tim Miller brings him back Sunday evenings because of our cat, the poor schedules. So there you have a man that you sing, Lord, and now Clinton can go in there and play the guitar and play and sing songs about the Lord. His wife is a professing Christian. Does she really know the Lord? We're not sure. But it's an opportunity to share the gospel. And I, so the reason we tell these stories is because you need to, you deserve to know what we are doing. And we have the privilege of being on the end where we see the response, the appreciation of the people that is a result of all of your efforts. And I think of one lady that we've probably helped more than any one single person, perhaps, Josephine. You know, I don't know if some of you remember the first summer was in 2010 when some of us handed out leaflets on the south part of town, east of Maine. Those have provided some of the longest lasting friendships that we still have contact with. And one of those is Josephine. And so William Hirschberger and Amelia went out there and started remodeling her her bathroom because she needed a shower. And Amelia, he quit after a day because the nicotine smell was so strong he couldn't take it. She rolls her own cigarettes and it's pretty strong. And then the youth went and cleaned her house on the inside. You remember that? And there was a fall cleaning of the yard. And she just loved those things. And then a real major thing was, I was going to ask my wife how do you call those blocks, embroidery blocks. She had embroidered a bunch of them, but she could no longer embroider them because of her stiff fingers. So, and they were yellowed. And so we took them home and Edith washed them. And Fanny Helmuth finished embroidering a lot of those. And then Judith Nisley organized the quilting. And a number of you ladies came and quilted. And she came and joined the ladies for a while. And she got really emotional. You know, she just never experienced that. So, three alcoholic husbands. Children taken away from her. Placed in foster care. She's got a tough surface, but inwardly, she is a lonely lady. And so then, to top it all off, the Pennsylvania youth group put a new siding on her house and painted her house. Just, it's wonderful, you know? So exciting. And then Edith and I had the opportunity to get the icing on the cake, so they invited us, her son invited us to her 80th birthday out at Fraser Drug. So a few of the friends, their friends, came there for breakfast. And her daughter from Omaha, Nebraska, drove down for the occasion. And she was just there at Fraser Drug and was going to head back to Omaha. And this is the one daughter that she talked about. So she, afterwards, this daughter took us in her arms. And the tears just ran down. And she said, you don't know what this means to me, to know that my mom's taken care of. So, thank you. Thank you. Another one that we've talked a lot about here is Leota Hale. And I just request prayer for Perry and Judith as they work with her. They've poured so much time into her, and she's been in the hospital. Now she's out again. Her granddaughter came up, well, was up when she fell and was in the hospital. And she also has become so emotional and so appreciative of what Perry's have done in her life. So why do I say these? It's just as an encouragement, and we could just keep going and talk of Kay Noble and Joe and Marilyn investing time first, and then Heidi and Emily, and doing all kinds of special things, and what that has meant to her, and how it has blessed her life, and Sandra Bennett, and Anya, and Christy Miller, and Carrie, right? Just a tremendous blessing to see people respond. And I have a hard time keeping up, and I'm not keeping up, but I think right now there's close to 10 people in Hutchinson that are being visited or having regular contact with someone from the church here. And this, remember we said, practical acts of service, friendship, and discipleship. And we know that the most difficult part is discipleship. And the sermon by Arlen a number of weeks ago about making disciples just struck such a strong chord with me. And that's a struggle that I have. I think all of us that are involved, I think the RISE people, all of us that are involved in Hutchinson, or we're involved with missions, what we really desire is that the Holy Spirit would come down and would shake the people's hearts, that they would see their lost condition and would open their hearts to the Lord and would really have a genuine desire for new things. That's our prayer, right? And that's what we want to pray for. But in the meantime, we have to be willing to do a lot of hard work and say, well, please, won't you ever change? You know, get a hold of yourself. You know? You ever feel like doing that? So, but then you find out that's all flesh and that's not going to work. And I've done that. And I've had to confess and apologize. So it's God's work. And it's God who moves and works in people's hearts. But it's such a privilege to be part of that, those hands and mouth and feet of our Lord. And it's such a privilege to work with you to minister in that way. And that's the tension, what I was talking about. So on the one hand, we never want to become satisfied. You want more. You want to see a move of God more. But on the other hand, you don't want to focus, just like Clinton said, and yesterday we talked about that. Okay, so if you don't see any results at all, just like Sam investing all those years of service in prisoners in Titus, okay, what are the results? It's not our business. We're asked to sow. We're asked to make disciples. And the Lord will take care of the results. But on the other hand, we do desire to see a deep move of God in the hearts of people. And I just so many times when I talk to people, I feel like I'm talking to a brick wall and they don't get it. And you say, Lord, you just have to pray that, Lord, somehow minister to their hearts. I'd like to give one other little testimony of how God, the little things that God does to just the little surprises. Chet is one of the men that we handed out leaflets, and he called us. He needed someone to mow his yard, and I think Mike Utsi mowed his yard that first year. And he had cancer, and we used to request prayer for him. And I would visit him occasionally. He said he was born again. He was ready to go, but he fought. I thought he was going to die, and he'd rally. And then the last half year, I would go up to his door and no one would answer, and I kind of gave up. So, was he still living? What happened? Then one Saturday evening, about a month ago, his caregiver called. He said, "You know what?" And I had met her several times. "You know, I was going through a box of stuff, and I came across your card." And he said, "Chet is on his deathbed. He's got a day, maybe a week, not more." So was that just a happening that she found that card? No. So I was able to go whisper into his ear, hardly any response. And then when he died a few days later, I just happened to be a few blocks away that I could go over and see the body before they took it away. You know, aren't those neat little deeds of love that the Lord gives us to show that he does care about those details, and that you were able to speak truth and hope in that man's life, and you hope he's ready. You know, his sister, it was atheist, the main one doing the planning, but the message at the gravesite in McPherson was definitely very biblical. Through the years, then, we have, one thing we've talked a lot about is, wouldn't it be good to have a place or a house or something in Hutch? Some kind of a physical presence where people know there is the Hands of Christ office or place. A place where you could talk with people. It's a place where you could identify with people. Place where you could receive people. And, you know, when Jesus came in John 1, it says he became flesh and he dwelled among us. And some translations say he moved into the neighborhood. And, you know, when you work with people, something happens to yourself. And you see more and more the need to move into the neighborhood. And so God hasn't opened those doors. But he has given us a vision to start with, at least to, if the Lord leads, to have a something, a building, a house, a presence in Hutchinson. And, you know, we've talked a lot about it. We've dreamt a lot about it. We've prayed a lot about it. We've looked at houses, and we thought it's time to talk to you about it. And the team has a vision for it, and we have a vision for it. We think it's, but now we have to see how God will lead. And it would give me an office to work from, or not just me, but whoever is the coordinator or will be the coordinator would give him a place to work from. It would give the regular volunteers, a place to work from. And like if you meet with Frank, like we do regularly, to have a Bible study, you could go there and have the Bible study. You want to meet with a few other people, you could meet there, and it would be accessible to the local population. And we think it could be such an asset, rather than Hands of Christ, people being someone who comes in from the outside and leaves again, they can say, "Oh, there it is. There they are. There's where we can talk with them. They are really here in Hutchinson." So that's something that I think Titus will talk more about. But it's just also something we give into God's hands. Another thing we're looking at for the future that you can pray with us is Rise Church has a teen track Bible study for the teenagers. And we're praying about could we work something out of if some adults from Hands of Christ friends would want to join them. So that's still in the planning, praying stage, and you can pray with us that God would clarify that. So, you know, it's a, there are so many decisions, and I just also want to open myself to all of you. It's your work, and we're representing you in Hutchison. And if you have concerns about anything regarding the work, please feel free to talk to me or to any of us, and or you have suggestions. Because a work like this, it takes effort to keep the vision alive for all of us. And it's in the first place about the Lord Jesus and about living souls who need him and who need to learn to know him as the only hope for their lives. So I thought if we could, I think we have a little enough time that we could just pause and pray for the work especially.
First of all, I'd just like to say it's certainly been a privilege for me to serve as treasurer the last several years. And it's a kind of work that I enjoy anyway, and it's especially a blessing to do that kind of work in a sphere that enables people to speak grace and life to the least of these, to the broken. And I was kind of intrigued by what Joe said about money going one way. It's true you don't have quite the same kind of profit and loss statements you would in a business. But then as I was listening tonight, I had to think, you know, there's a lot that we receive in a ministry like this. I see God being, the life of Christ being developed in a lot of people. And as we build friendships, I see it in Dad, when we build friendships, that goes two ways. We receive something too. Last year, we asked Dad what he wanted to do for his birthday. He'd like just like to have an evening with some of his friends from town. And I do think we are receiving something. Two verses that have stood out to me to think about the last several months, and I thought it was interesting, was Mark 12, 30 and 31, and I think both of those were mentioned tonight already. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I just realized how often finances are, we think about finances from day to day. Sometimes you wonder why do you have to talk about money on an evening like this. But I realized that if money is so important to me, then if I'm supposed to love God like this, then it probably is supposed to affect that too. So tonight I just want, like Titus said, I just want to give a brief overview, help you understand our financial statements maybe a little better. We basically have two funds. It's the general fund and the blessing fund. And all the offering monies from Center, 10% of that goes to the blessing fund. The rest goes to the general fund. And in the expenditures part, all the expenditures are from the general fund, except that there's a separate section for blessing fund disbursements. And those then come from the blessing fund, obviously. And at the bottom, then I usually try to put a little box that gives that differentiates the ending balances of the two funds. If you want to give to something specific, like for the blessing fund specifically, just you can memo your donation as Hands of Christ Blessing Fund, and it will all go to the blessing fund. The same is true if there's if you become aware of other special needs, like if something is mentioned that the Hands of Christ could use a mower, for example, or you know maybe Titus says something, or Dad mentions that there's a need. You can, if something like that is brought up, just memo it the same way, Hands of Christ, and whatever the thing might be, and it will be used for that purpose. Another possibility that may come up at times, if you are involved with Hands of Christ and you become aware of a significant financial need that doesn't really fall within the guidelines of how we use our blessing fund, and it seems legitimate, you know, then that could be done in that same way as well. Just thanks a lot for the privilege of working with you. And if you have any questions, please feel free to come talk to me anytime. I might just open it now, too, if there is a specific question on what I mentioned tonight. Is there anything? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Nathan. So Hands of Christ keeps growing, and from an organizational standpoint, we feel like we're ready and looking forward to setting up a presence in Hutch. And we've looked at some properties, and had we had the funding available or the pledges available, we would have tried to purchase that property. We're not really specific on if it's going to be if our property is a commercial building or a house or a duplex that would one side be the office and other side be for emergency housing or to generate some income to pay off the other side or whatever. We're not specific on what our property should look like. We do have some locations in mind in Hutchison over other locations, and shall we say, not on the good side of town. But we do want what the church wants, and so tonight we're making available opportunity to pledge or donate or give an interest-free pledge or money toward buying a property or the renovation of a property if we acquire a property. So if you want to pledge or donate or give an interest-free loans, we'll have some forms in the back on the bulletin board. So you think about that, and if you have any questions about specific questions about the property, please feel free to ask me, Shane, or Joe. We would be willing to entertain those questions. There's cards in the back. If someone wants to take them home and think about it, that's fine. Just turn them into Nathan. And we also have a need for a trailer to move people and to haul mowing equipment. We need a trailer that's small enough to pull behind Paul's van, so we don't need a gooseneck. We just need a little one. But the trailer would cost around $800, would give us a trailer big enough to haul mowing equipment, move couches, help people move. I think helping people move is one of the Hands of Christ specialties. So sorry about that, Clint. But that need would also be available. If someone wants to pledge money toward that, why let one of us know, or you could earmark a check for that if you wanted to. If you have questions, like Paul said earlier, or suggestions for our ministry, or you have comments or things we could do better, please feel free to contact one of us, and we will pass that on for sure. Is there any questions that anybody would like to ask about anything we talked about tonight publicly? Okay. Okay, so you could pledge that just by putting it on, earmarking your check as a donation. But we'll have the pledge cards on the bulletin board back here. So is that cleared up? Okay. So we have time for announcements yet. What announcements do you have?